Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yes, it is. Good morning and welcome. Monday on the morning show with Preston Scott. July 18th is the date. More on that in mere moments. Good to be with you. Day 4740 of the radio program. That is Grant Allen over there running the radio broadcast. Normally, as normal, I should say, it is day 544 of America Held Hostage. Our verse of the day, we go to Psalm 138. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. Gods in lowercase, by the way. Those things that men lift up. I will bow down toward your holy temple, and I will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord. When they hear what you have decreed, may they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will vindicate me, your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Psalm 138. Kind of tags on to Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. That is, as my devotional here says, is the secret sauce. An attitude of being grateful, thankful, huge to navigating life is always stepping back and thinking, yeah, boy, but it could be a whole lot worse. Welcome to the program. Today, kind of a different show today. Talk to Evan Power, Chair, Leon County GOP. Next hour, Governor's got a conference coming up. We'll talk about that. Third hour, Bill Kelly, actor extraordinaire. He actually works with us here at iHeart and has for years. He's been part of the Clear Channel / iHeart family for many, many, many years and decided to start following a dream about 20 years ago or so and started to do some acting. And it has landed him some roles that get bigger and bigger each and every time. And now he plays I guess it would be a co-starring role in the new movie Where the Crawdads Sing. So we'll talk to him. He'll be in studio. A lot of other things in between. Big stories in the press box, meaningful as always. So stick around. We'll get your week started. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
I am fair. I am good. I'm a happy example. Glenn is on
9 to noon.
I am stronger every day
on WFLA.
Little minutes after the hour of the morning show. Good morning. Hope you had a nice weekend. I kept plugging away in my garage. Multi-day project. I'd say I've got one more day left, and then it will be done. As much as it can be. Like a lot of you, we just got boxes and bins and stuff that belongs to kiddos that they don't have space for, so you hold on to some things. Anyway. You just do what you need to do. So it's an endless project, but at least it will come to a conclusion to where I can access my little workshop and do things as needed. Although to really do anything significant, I've got myself a table saw now, as well as my miter saw. I still have to go out into the driveway or out in the garage, pull a car out and, you know, work in a little bit larger space. But it's going to be better than it was. I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that. July 18th, what do we got here? In 1853, trains begin running between Maine and Quebec over North America's first international railroad route. This one is so remarkably meaningful to me. It started with the movie Glory. If you've never seen the movie Glory, you really should see the movie Glory. Have you seen the movie Glory, Grant? It's an outstanding movie about the Massachusetts 54th. One of, if not the first black regiment, certainly one of, that fought on behalf of the Union in the Civil War, Massachusetts 54th, leads an assault on Fort Wagner, Morris Island near Charleston. It's surreal to me. I've been to Fort Sumter a couple of times. And every time I go up on the top and I look across the harbor to Morris Island. I don't know if they let anyone onto Morris Island yet. It was off limits. You couldn't get onto Morris Island. You would not see the fort, but that's right across there is where that fateful day occurred, where the Massachusetts 54th led an assault. The assault would be unsuccessful, but not because of the efforts of the 54th. They just didn't get it done. It was tough. It was a tough assault. But it allowed the Confederates to basically control Charleston Harbor because they had they had armaments at both forts, Battery Wagner, Fort Wagner, on the one side, Fort Sumter on the other. So that's pretty cool. If you go there and you look across, you'll know that's where that all happened. 1918, some 85,000 troops joined the successful Allied counterattack in the Second Battle of Marne in the turning point of the World War known as Number One, the Great War at the time. 1968, Intel is incorporated. 1986, researchers at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute release deep sea videos of the Titanic. I still remember that. That was like, no way. They found it. That was crazy. And it was on this date in 2014, 8 years ago today, that Dan Markell was shot. Just a few hours from now in the morning. Tomorrow in the morning show, we celebrate his life with family and friends.
UFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
And free.
And iHeart's radio station.
Yeah, good morning and welcome to the program if you're just waking up. I wish I could ease you into it. I mean, there are occasions where this first half hour is, you know, we do the little scripture, get you started with a little God's word, right? Good, good. This date in history, seldom heavy, seldom. Every now and then it has a poignancy to it. And then this segment we try to reserve to, I don't know, auctions, archaeology, something light, animal stories perhaps. No, no, not today. Did you catch the news headline? COVID is up. Now, why would that be? Seriously. Why would it be? We're in the height of summer. People's vitamin D levels are at highs. And yet, a coronavirus is moving around. Well, let me tell you a couple reasons. Number one, your vaccine doesn't work against a coronavirus. In case you hadn't heard, Anthony Fauci announced last week, it doesn't prevent you from getting it. It's highly ineffective. How about that? The shot doesn't work against a coronavirus. Second reason, the alleged vaccine, which is a jab, a treatment, was developed for the original COVID-19. It's gone. This is something totally different now. So, the idea here is that more than likely, if you got the jab, you're a little bit more susceptible. Now, that's not to say others can't get whatever, but it's a bad cold. What about all the complications, Preston? The complications came about because the routine treatments weren't allowed. You had to get the jab, and then we learned the jab didn't stop it. Now I haven't even gotten to this story. Deborah Birx, in her book, Dr. Birx, has admitted to manipulating things to get a desired outcome in the way of travel bans and so forth. She withheld information from President Trump to manipulate the decision-making process. She's admitting it. She's admitting it before Congress. She's admitted it in her book. Where do you hear the excerpts of this book? Oh, my gosh. And now, just when you thought we were going to be dealing with the push towards monkeypox, which transmission of that is not a virus as we know it. It's a virus that can only be spread through human contact, very direct human contact. But in the back, we talked about it before on the show. We told you what Attorney Todd Callender had shared with us. And oh, by the way, Todd's coming back on the show. He had talked about, and he's gotten diverted. He's like, they seem to be throwing all their attack on this monkeypox thing. Reuters, Ghana confirms its first outbreak of highly infectious Marburg virus. Marburg is a thing. Just in time for the elections. Don't be surprised by anything that comes over the next few months. This is going to get ugly. Because there's going to be some of us saying, no, no. And I suspect there'll be a few more of us because of what's happened over the last couple of years. School board in Pennsylvania agreed to a $300,000 settlement for censoring critics. Here's what's interesting. This school board got in trouble for doing exactly what Leon County Schools has been engaging in recent months, maybe years. I don't know. I hadn't been to a school board meeting in a while since I went back in, what, May or something, April, something like that. And so I sent this to the school board this weekend. I sent them all a note. And I attached this article and I said, yeah, you guys might want to take a look at this because you're guilty of this. And a judge has said, yeah, a federal court has ruled, yeah, you can't do this. It's you can't make people announce their address. And you can't shield yourself from being criticized. Sorry. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. But I've saved this story and I've sent it to Moms for Liberty.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Our audio magazine. A journey into whatever is left of journalism. And always pointing out and correcting what is not. The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Do not allow yourself to be sucked in by a virus that cannot be prevented. I'm just telling you, take care of yourself, boost your immune system naturally, be smart, washing hands and so forth. But friends, I hope you've learned lessons from the last couple of years. Masks aren't going to stop this because coronaviruses happen. It's called the same kind of virus that is a common cold. And when you strip away all the hyperbole, the numbers who died from COVID-19 are the same numbers that die on a bad year of a bad case of the flu. The flu kills people every year. More of them died as a result of COVID, but not that many more. It wasn't some ridiculous outlier that they're trying to tell you. Anyway. Big story in the press box. Judge in Tennessee has temporarily banned two federal agencies from enforcing directives issued by the resident as it relates to extending protections to LGBTQ people in schools and workplaces. For example, allowing bathrooms to be used at whatever they choose to use. That is not allowed at this point, according to this judge. Now, here's the key. The lawsuit was filed by attorneys general in Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, and West Virginia.
Sounds like a pretty concerted effort.
It would seem. Now, there obviously are a bunch of states that aren't in there. There's 30 states that aren't in that. Attorneys from those states, attorneys general, sued, claiming the directives were an infringement on states' rights. Now, sadly, you still have jurisdiction. For example, where we're based in Leon County, you use whatever bathroom you choose on that day. That's where we are. I'm just letting you know that as of right now, there is an injunction in place. U.S. District Judge Charles Atchley ruled on Friday. Now, this lawsuit's been sitting around. Keep in mind now, this lawsuit started back last August. And so I don't know if the efforts to expand Title IX played a role in this finally being heard. I don't know enough to tell you that. Another little story here that I thought was interesting, one of the research assistants sent my way. If in fact, I think it was the lead research assistant of the morning show with Preston Scott. And it's a Substack article by a Rahim Kassam. He seems to be a fairly conservative guy.
Based out of the UK. I've followed him on Twitter for a little while now.
Am I correct?
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of interesting because this story falls into the category of bucket three. Things you ought to be aware of. And I bet you've been aware of it, but you've not ever went, aha, you know, you're right. You've noticed it. Have you noticed how the colors on the weather maps have changed?
I saw that same thing.
We used to have friendly faces of Mr. Sunshine. Remember, he looked like the sunshine on the box of Kellogg's Raisin Bran.
Sure.
Raisins made by the sun. And they had the friendly little sunshine. And
nothing you would but have, smiles.
You would have maps with little suns on it. And it was happy, yellow. But no longer. We are now using deep, dark oranges and deep and dark reds. And what has happened is he's pulled up photos, screenshots of weather forecasts going back to the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Where the same temperatures that would produce yellow and light orange and bright sunshines are now been replaced by deep, dark red.
The psychology of the meteorologists and the and their maps.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And so it's comical. And we're talking about modest temperatures. You know, temperatures in the 50s used to be blue. And you know, 30s and below, white? 50s now, green. And it's just, it's the psychological warfare. Never ends.
Beck. He's always been a white guy. Glenn Beck.
Right.
We got it. Licensed to talk. 9 to noon on WFLA.
All right, to set this up, did a little researching over the weekend because this hit too close to home and reminding me of something, a topic that I covered with Peter Schweitzer 10 years ago. 10 years ago, a little better than 10 years ago, Peter, number one on the morning show power rankings, Peter did a book called Throw Them All Out, where he chronicled what is called crony capitalism. And on Book TV, which was covered by C-SPAN, presented by the Heritage Foundation in this occasion, Peter was discussing his book, Throw Them All Out. And he describes crony capitalism. I'm taking you back to January 2nd, 2012, Peter Schweitzer.
Now, what do I mean by crony capitalism, and how is it different from free market capitalism? Let me sort of describe it by just giving a couple of archetype examples. Free market capitalism, I would give as an example of that, would be Steve Jobs, the late founder of Apple Computer. He joined what the Occupy Wall Street crowd would call the 1% by doing what? By creating products and services that people wanted to buy. People desired to buy Apple products, he became very wealthy. That is an example, in my mind, of free market capitalism. Steve Jobs did not have really hardly any lobbyists. He was not active politically. It was a voluntary purchase that people made of his goods and products that made him a very wealthy man. The crony capitalist, on the other hand, is less interested in that voluntary exchange, and they're interested in making money out of the political system. What matters to them is not creating innovative products or services, but having political connections, which allows them to get government contracts, which allows them to get set-asides in the tax codes, guaranteed government loans, guaranteed government grants, and access to inside information that's going to help them on investment decisions. So these, I think, are the two sort of archetypes that exist in America today. And my fear and concern is that we are increasingly moving in the direction of the crony capitalists and away from the free market capitalist, as Steve Jobs being an example. Let me give you two recent examples from people, one from each party. The first one would be Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House from San Francisco. When she first came into Congress in 1987, her net worth was around $3 million. In the 20 years she had served in Congress after that, her net worth has gone up 876%, which means if you do it on a compounded basis, you're averaging about 24% return on your investment every year. I think George Soros or Warren Buffett or certainly me would kill for that kind of return on investment. So a dramatic increase in wealth. And I'm going to argue that at least part of that, a large part of that, is connected to her political position. What about a Republican? Well, the Speaker of the House immediately before her was Dennis Hastert from Illinois. Dennis Hastert, when he became Speaker in the late 1990s, had a net worth around $300,000. When he left as Speaker less than a decade later, it was in the millions. It could potentially have been as high as $11 million. He didn't inherit money. He didn't win the lotto. It's a function of him leveraging his position in order to enrich himself.
What does that have to do with now? I'll share that next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Wherever you may be, from Florida Sunshine State to California. Scratch that. California's hopeless. For the rest, we're your morning show. The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Minutes after the hour, Monday on The Morning Show. I shared Peter Schweitzer. 10 years, Nancy Pelosi's wealth had jumped up nearly 900% over 20 years of being in Congress. What a coincidence, right? So Peter writes his book, Throw Them All Out. 60 Minutes does a piece on it. It is huge news. He's obviously a New York Times bestselling author at that time. This just cements his place, an investigative journalist. He calls out both sides of the aisle, points this out. The Virginia legislature convenes. They start dealing with the issue. And then Congress convenes, and they pass this watered-down nonsense. Simply put, Congress was able to do things regarding what I'll call insider trading that would send other people to jail. It was fine for them. It's unbelievable. So they passed down this, they passed this watered down measure. Nothing much comes of it, even though the book got huge attention. People in Congress were shocked and whatever. We fast forward another 10 years. Imagine what Nancy Pelosi's wealth is now. And it's about to get wealthier. Or larger, I should say. Inside this bill that they are determined to pass, the new Build Back Better bill, the new $1 trillion spending package, is $52 billion to the United States microchip industry.
Guess who recently bought one to five, we don't know exactly, $1 to $5 million worth of stock options in a microchip firm in the United States? Paul Pelosi. Senate could vote on the bill as early as tomorrow. 20,000 shares, apparently, is the amount. How would he know? There's no way that Nancy would have let him know that there would have been any knowledge of what could be tucked inside this bill for investment purposes, getting his direction. It's unbelievable. They're just cheaters. A bunch of them on both sides of the aisle. But in this case, Nancy Pelosi. It doesn't stop. Along that same line, according to KRDO Television, federal judge in Cincinnati has issued a temporary restraining order prohibiting the U.S. Air Force from enforcing the vaccine mandate for 2 weeks. He's come to the conclusion that, my goodness, not a single person that's asked for a religious exemption, hardly anyone's getting them. I don't understand why it even comes down to a religious exemption. And that's why I've got to get Matt Staver, I got to get Todd Callender back on here. Why does the religious exemption even matter? There's not a legal vaccine, and it isn't one. Even if it were, it isn't one. What world are we living in? And with all due respect to fine litigators and attorneys out there like Matt and others, why is this so complicated? Your Honor, this does not prevent the virus from being caught. It's a treatment. We rest. I don't get it. I don't get it. Why can they even make anybody get this treatment? Again, it's like demanding Advil over Tylenol. All right, come back with some good news, better news, next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Good morning and welcome to the second hour of The Morning Show with Preston Scott on Monday, July 18th. Great to be with you. Show 4740, Grant Allen over there. I'm here. I'm Preston. Evan Power, chair of the Leon County GOP in just a little bit. Next hour, Bill Kelly, actor from the movie Where the Crawdads Sing, will be joining us in studio. He's right here in Tallahassee and had a big premiere last week. Family and friends, co-workers, and that was a good time had by all who were there, I'm told. We'll talk to Bill about the arc of his career and where it all started for him, and we've known each other for many, many years. We've been co-workers for 20, but we've known each other a little longer than that, and so it'll be a good visit next hour here on the program, something a little bit different. You know, we have chronicled on the show the demise of comic books, comic book heroes, the Marvel Universe going woke, DC Universe going woke. Nothing is beyond the reach of political correctness. And I warned you of this, right? I mean, there's more than a few of you that were listening to me the very first week I was on the air in March of 2002. You know, the week of March 18th, I talked about political correctness and its potential to just decimate our culture, and that's what it's doing.
if you get down to it, the root of all of this obviously is sin. But it expresses itself in different ways. And one of the ways is pride of self, is narcissistic ideology, humanism. And political correctness is rooted in that. And it's so interesting to watch political correctness kind of consume like, you know, some kind of gross little fungus that just grows and extends and it extends and it extends and it just doesn't have a cessation of its appetite. It just continues. And the comic book world has been all but snuffed out by political correctness. I mean, we're even going to see, more than likely, instead of James Bond, the Bond series, go with Chris Hemsworth. Is that his name? Helmsworth?
Yeah, Hemsworth.
Go with him. He's got the cool accent, right?
Uh-huh.
Let him play the part of James Bond. Let's go with a beefy, big, bulked up James Bond. Fine, whatever. No. Word is we're going female. Something like that. Whatever. It's like, not interested. Not interested. But there's always a reaction to this, and we step back and we're surprised that it's successful. But someone steps back and says to the comic book world, no. I'll publish this myself. And so we come to Eric July, who happens to be a black libertarian comic book writer. And his first comic book, called Isom Number One, before it's even available to buy, pre-sell is all you get. $1.7 million in pre-orders in 4 days.
Whoa.
And it gets a little more into the reasons why he's self-publishing. He created his own company. It's called Ripaverse. And so that's where you order it. And he said, to see the industry gone in the direction it's gone is kind of lights a fire under you. It's not like it's getting any better. These people are doubling down on everything. And they're doing no matter how often the fans reject it. So he created Ripaverse. I put my money where my mouth is. I just started a comic book company. I told people I'm not beating the audience over the head with my individual political views with this. And that got me called the most ugly names I've probably ever been called in my life. More about Isom Number One next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Decades of doing morning drive radio differently. Doing it his way. Like old Blue Eyes. Except he has a little more hair. The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Minutes after the hour in the morning show, talking about Isom Number One. You can find it. Just look up Ripaverse Comics. I'm going to see if I can track this guy down. I'm going to take a shot at it. Eric July is the writer.
And he said, I like seeing people get stoked. He said, I like seeing people happy and enthusiastic about something that's happening in entertainment. The last 5-6 years, it's been rough for a lot of people. Folks have been holding their noses as they go through and consume whatever entertainment there is that they're consuming. We are seeing success and people are enthusiastic. Customers are enthusiastic. He said, that's why they hate us. This is what I do. This is my passion. I'm a comic book lifer. Isom number one follows the story of Avery Silman, a common rancher in Floor Park, Texas, who obtained some unique abilities and spent a brief time acting as a hero under the moniker Isom. Things take a turn for Silman when he gets a call from his sister about an old friend who's become one of the most feared men in the city. Silman goes to visit his childhood friend and ends up in some violent altercations, and he's sucked back into the world of accepts or special beings. The 96-page comic book, will serve as a launching pad for the entire Ripaverse comics universe. Cliff Richards is the author, or rather the drawer. July's the author. And hopefully the books will be coming out soon.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it's...
sounds like classic comic book.
And that's what he was going for.
Yeah, for sure.
Good versus evil.
Absolutely.
But he's just not going to embrace any of the social justice nonsense that shoved down everybody's throat. He said, I'm not going to be part of that. And so they're going to try and cancel him. But that's the beauty of this. Ask Mr. MyPillow.
Mike Lindell?
Yeah, ask him how it's worked out with him being canceled by all these other outlets. What's happened to his business? Nothing. People rally around folks that are getting squeezed. See, here's the dirty little secret. Conservative-minded people generally, they put their money where their mouth is. They do. They shut it down when they don't like the direction something's going, and they fund whatever they like. Not really into organized boycotts and campaigns. They just kind of do it. They just do. And so I wanted to bring that to you. A non-woke comic book cranking out some value and making a little cash along the way. I love it. Count me in. I might have ordered one.
I was going to say, I'm looking here right now.
I might have ordered one.
He's got 3 different covers, you know, each unique and have their own kind of special collectability, I suppose. Looks cool.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, there are 3 different covers. With different graphics, different art designs on the front.
Come on.
Yeah.
Really?
I'll send you the link to the different ones.
So what I order?
I don't know. You probably ordered the main one. The primary one, which has the main cover, which is getting the most traction. But there are 2 others that if you click around on the website a little bit further.
I might need to order those
too. I'm throwing it out there.
Does he have a Twitter page where you can DM him?
Possibly. I will look around.
See what we can do. We need to get Eric July on the morning show with Preston Scott. We'll sell some comic books. Back with more.
WFLA. On your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Dude, yes!
And iHeart's radio station.
All right, 21, almost 22 minutes after the hour, the morning show with Preston Scott. Good morning. Big story in the press box. We're getting to it early because we've got Evan Power, Leon County GOP chair, in just a little bit. So we're going to kind of reset the big story in the press box here, but I'm going to add to it. Get this, latest Gallup poll, 28% of Americans have a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in the public school system. 28%. 28%. The record was 1975 when it was 62%. That's crazy. It popped back up in 2020 to 41% after being down. But it is at 28%. 43% of Democrats have confidence in the school system. 14% of Republicans. Independents at 29%. Add it up, 28% of Americans have confidence in the school system. So I ask this. If you're listening going, yeah, that's about right, what are you doing about it? For some, the answer is, well, my kids don't go to public school. Fair enough. You've answered the question. That's what you're doing. You're making sure your kids are educated at home, virtually online, at home, or in another option, private education in some form or fashion. Okay, what about the rest of you? Because that only takes into account a small percentage. And I understand that for many of you, the transportation's a big reason why you resort to public education. They have a bus. For some, public education represents babysitting for 6 to 7 hours a day. There's not a lot of investment in what's going on. You're not talking to your kids a lot about what's happening that day in school. As a result, when suddenly they enter 7th, 8th grade and you're trying to figure out what happened to your son or daughter, you don't know because you've not been talking to them. You don't know what's been going on in the classrooms. You've not been showing up to the parent-teacher nights where it's an open classroom and you're able to look around the classroom, snap a couple photos, take a peek. Ask your son or daughter, is this what the classroom looks like when it's not parent night? I'm just saying. Well, you shouldn't put your kids in that position, Preston. Really? I want my kids to be aware of what's going on around them. I want them to know the signs of bias in teaching. I want to see the curriculum. I want to flip through the books. I want to go through the websites. I think it's kind of important. Hence, it's one of the big stories in the press box. Another one kind of interesting we talked about last hour. Have you noticed how the weather forecasters have changed the colors? It's a great observation by Raheem Kassam. He writes, yellow sun bad? Weather forecasters now use deep, dark red to represent glorious sunshine. Why? Because it conveys danger. It conveys alert. It conveys warning. That's why. It's a brilliant observation. The subtleties of brainwashing, near and far.
This is the questions you want the answers to. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Five minutes after the hour of the morning show. Good to be with you. I am Preston Scott. That is Grant Allen. And joining me on the phone line is the chairman of the Leon County GOP, Evan Power. Evan, good morning. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Preston?
I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm not as thrilled with where the national GOP is as I'd like to be heading into the midterms. You and I chat about this every now and then. I still think messaging is weak. If only the governor's people like Christina Peshaw was in charge of the national media, kind of response to what's going on, I'd feel better. She's like right behind Wendy's as the best on Twitter, don't you think?
Oh, Christina's awesome, and she does a great job for the governor. I think, you know, as we talk about it, Florida's doing a great job on leading the way on messaging and on policy. So I think and she does a great job on fighting back on Twitter, which is always entertaining.
The Sunshine Summit is coming up, and a companion to that is the, quote, victory dinner. Tell us what this is all about, because I imagine you're going to be heading down to South Central Florida.
I will be down in Hollywood, Florida this weekend. The governor's been pushing very hard. It's the largest gathering of Republicans that we're going to have this year. We have four congressional debates and the four open Republican seats that are happening at the summit. We also have leading speakers like Mark Levin, Molly Hemingway, Congressman Byron Donalds, a whole group of entertaining speakers, and the governor and the first lady will headline the victory dinner at night to talk about what we've done in Florida and how we're going to have resounding victories here in Florida in November.
What is the purpose? Is the purpose to just kind of energize the ground troops, or are there like workshops, breakouts? Is there going to be some kind of cohesive strategizing going on?
Yes, it's for the grassroots, to fire up the grassroots and also to talk about what we've done. There's going to be some breakout sessions that have to do with our policies on law and order, how to take back the U.S. House with Congressman Donalds, what we're doing in education with First Lady Casey DeSantis and Richard Corcoran, the former commissioner of education. So there'll be some education on what we're doing in Florida. And then it will also be an opportunity to hear from some leading personalities that are leading, as well as the governor, the First Lady, and Senator Rubio as we go into November.
Is bad news allowed? And by that, I mean, you know, is there going to be an honest appraisal? Because as I think you really know deep down, Evan, we should be messaging like last year. Once Biden took office, we knew what was coming. And from a policy perspective, we should be just beating the doors down with what we knew and what has happened. And it's not happening. We're not doing it.
Well, I think, you know, I think there are concerns on the national level, and you and I have discussed some of the messaging on the national level. Here in Florida, the governor doesn't shy away from fighting Joe Biden, and I think it's why he's become Joe Biden's number one target. I think what we have happening here in Florida is unique and different, is that we've become the exception to what's happening, and we're doing things right here, and Governor DeSantis doesn't back away from that fight. So I think, you know, where we've led from in Florida is a kind of a blueprint for what we should do nationally. And I think we're going to discuss some of that stuff at the summit, because I think what we've done on education and what we've done policy-wise on a plethora of issues are things that the national party should be looking at.
I don't disagree with that. I'm just curious if there will be room to discuss areas where Florida needs to be better.
Oh, there's always room to have that discussion. If you come to any Republican Party of Florida meeting, you could be a part of those discussions, because we always have different ways to look at it. And people, you know, our grassroots hold us accountable, and we are a grassroots organization where people have held people accountable from gun rights across and pushed the issue forward. And why I think a big reason on why we've become so much more conservative here in Florida is that parents have gotten involved, our grassroots have gotten involved in pushing for more conservative policy, and it just kind of lined up with Governor DeSantis, who's willing to lead and fight on those issues.
Evan, stand by. Evan Power with us, another segment, talk a little bit more, go a little deeper in the weeds on a couple issues. He's chairman of the Leon County GOP and my guest on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Welcome to MAD Radio Network. It's The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Uh-huh. joined for a few more minutes by Evan Power, chair of the Leon County GOP. Evan, Leon County is kind of an interesting place. It is, I've described it for those of us that are conservative as kind of being a pilgrim in an unholy land. How are things going? Is the GOP party growing in enough numbers that we might actually, before I pass away, see Republicans, real true conservatives, elected to local office?
We are growing. And one thing we've done exceptionally well over the last couple of cycles is increased our Republican share of turnout. We're turning out more Republicans than the Democrats do. Obviously, we have lesser numbers. We're adding to it. I think that before too long, we're going to see a Republican advantage in the House District 9. And you know, what we're really excited about this cycle is Corey Simon running for the state Senate, which is a chance to fire up Republicans from across the Panhandle area to show what a conservative leader can do when they get elected. And I think that will generate some more of that, the excitement for Republicans to stand up on the local level and to run. And we have a couple good candidates that are out there for local office this cycle, too. You know, the districts here are very hard, so it's always an uphill battle. And it's one that, you know, I think, you know, some of the policies in our county have presented opportunities where people are able to fight back.
Strategically, when people have asked my thoughts, I've always told them you've got to run in a midterm election cycle that sheer numbers make it really difficult right now for a conservative or a Republican to win in a presidential year. Do you concur?
I concur, and I think trying to win in a primary is always an optimal time because Republicans turn out a lot better historically in a primary. But, you know, the one tactical disadvantage that we have here in Leon County is that, you know, city elections are citywide. So a city commissioner is elected by more people than a state house member is elected by, which is just kind of an unfair way to look at campaigning and being able to get out there for someone who's on the outside.
Does the city need to go to districts?
They 100% need to go to districts so they can better represent the people. And from a campaigning standpoint, allow candidates to actually go out and meet voters and talk to them about what they need and be able to represent them.
I don't know how much time you get a chance to listen to the program, but I've, for the last year or so, been pushing the idea of Killarn de-annexing from the city, not allowing that community to be taken advantage of anymore. Their tax dollars flow to the city, but they really don't get much in the way of services because most of the services they get, they pay for on the side anyway. What are your thoughts?
No, I think there's a lot of merit to that conversation, and it's a conversation that should be had because there's and it's Killarn and some other places that don't get a lot back for what they put in, and it's the reason I think districts are important. It's the reason why I think talking to voters is important, because right now the city doesn't represent the voters at large.
Evan, what is your sense, and I will respect if you prefer not to say, but I want to ask you anyway, because you are involved in the state Republican Party as chairman of Leon County's GOP, what is your sense on Governor DeSantis and 2024? I think he needs to, quite honestly, I think he needs to announce he's going to be governor for 4 years and then see what happens. But what do you think?
I think every conversation I've had with the governor and his team is he's completely focused on Florida and winning the election this year. I think whatever happens on the national level as we move forward is still up in the air. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, the governor has proven he'll do whatever's best for Florida. And I think we just need to continue. I think he's going to be here leading for a while. And 2024 will resolve itself when the time comes.
Yeah, what do you think, though?
You know, I think the governor's done a tremendous job, but I just don't. You know, at this point, I think we're 100% focused on winning re-election, and then we'll then, you know, 2024 figures itself out.
You're not going to answer the question, are you?
I am not, because I do not want to get bogged down in that. I at this point, really, it's about focused on getting people out to vote and turn out in large numbers, and that's kind of where everybody's focus is.
How about if I ask it this way? Does Trump's decision make a difference, yes or no?
I think Trump's decision always makes a difference because he's the largest figure in our party at this point in time.
Okay, fair enough. Evan, good to visit with you. Be well.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Evan Power, Leon County GOP, my guest. Great non-answer twice. I knew. I just wanted to take a shot. 46 minutes after the hour of the morning show with Preston Scott.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Who do you think you are? I am.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Fifty-one minutes after the hour. Actor Bill Kelly. Wonder how he feels being introduced that way. Actor Bill Kelly. Co-star of the movie Where the Crawdads Sing. Do crawdads sing or only when they're thrown into boiling water? I want to know that. That might be my first question. Do crawdads sing, Sheriff?
All I know is when I hear the title of that film, it makes me want to talk in like some 17th, 18th century, you know, Virginia planter accent. I do declare, Mr. Beauregard, where the crawdads sing. I don't know why. It's
a little creepy, sir.
I know.
It's just a little creepy.
It just kind of comes over me. you don't know what to do now.
Now, I'm looking something up here. Let's see here. Okay. Bill's coming in just a little bit. Got a note from a listener. Client of mine told me his daughter is going to be a freshman at the University of Florida. She started classes online. There were very few selections. The one she ended up having to do is called History of Racism. His comment was, the indoctrination begins very fast, obviously.
Let me guess, they didn't start that course until about 1619 is the starting point. They don't care about history or racist history prior to that of how, you know, the...
World history, you mean?
Yeah, like world history, you know, the Arab slave trade, the Arabs, you know, getting Africans and African tribes selling their own tribal members to other nations in Africa as slaves. I'm guessing they didn't touch on that part. Did they?
Probably not. I don't have a chapter and verse breakdown of the course, sir. Just that's what happened. Now, that dovetails nicely, and we're going to circle back to a conversation I had with Justin Haskins. You may remember that last Tuesday, Justin came on the program and broke news that was technically embargoed until noon, except on our program, where he spoke freely, about a poll that he wrote and did with Rasmussen. And it was a Heartland Institute Rasmussen poll. Here's some more findings from that poll. 57% of Democrats agree with the statement that the Constitution is a document rooted in racism. 84% of Republicans, along with 38% of Democrats and 60% of independents, disagree that the Constitution is not a racist document. However, 64% of Democrats agree with the statement that the Constitution is a sexist document that gives men advantages over women. Now, it would be historically correct to say that for a period of time, it did. It took a few amendments, did it not, for women to gain the right to vote?
Same thing is true of blacks. 77% of Republicans, 33% of Democrats, 59% of independents disagree with calling the Constitution a sexist document. I would not call it a sexist document. I would call it a reflection of the times, but that it created a pattern, a blueprint for wrongs to be righted. 49% of Democrats said the Constitution should be mostly or completely rewritten. 77% of Republicans, 47% of Democrats, 63% of independents disagree. What's interesting is that 89% of Republicans have at least a somewhat favorable opinion of the Constitution, 74% of Democrats. Here we go, moseying into hour number three of the morning show with Preston Scott. Good morning. I'm Preston. That's Grant. Monday, July 18th, show 4,740. Go figure. We're still doing this. And this hour, we start the hour a little bit different, a bit of a diversion from the normal noise that we talk about. Joining me is a friend, longtime friend and actor, Bill Kelly. The movie Where the Crawdads Sing. Hello, Bill. How are you?
Good morning, Preston Scott.
Big time in me, Preston. Huh? Big time in me.
I wouldn't. You know, I get a hit every once in a while, but you've been a hit for years.
Yeah, whatever. Bill works with us at iHeart, but Bill has been acting for a number of years. And Bill, I was thinking back. I've sort of been on this journey with you a little bit. You and I, about 20 years ago, when I was first starting this show, maybe a little bit later into it, we sat down and chatted with Freddie Rabath and some movies you were doing with the FSU Film School, and he was directing some movies. Is that where this entire journey started for you, or did it start prior to that?
Well, I had a brief encounter with a stage back when I was in high school. And then, you know, fast forward numerous years later, back in, 2003, 2004, somewhere in there, I started doing FSU student films. And I got to thank the film school and Freddie Rabath for helping me cut my teeth, if it will, on doing student films and independent stuff. But and this will date me, I saw facts come in that said open auditions at film school, and anybody can go do that. They've got, you know, a lot of students, that demographic that's covered, so they reach out to the community to find roles or people to fill the roles that are older audiences, older roles, dads, moms. So I did about 30 student films mixed in with working with Fred on his stuff. And, about 30 films later, I thought, well, you know, I was divorced. My kids were pretty much grown. And I thought, why not? Let's give it a shot. So I looked around for an agent and found a good one. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Well, it's interesting because we fast forward from that. And then you and I talked on the program about an ad that aired on a Super Bowl, during a Super Bowl.
Yes.
But yes, you had been doing a few commercials, but that ad seemed to trigger something, or did it?
Well, the ad was great. You know, it was a great experience for me. It was the Budweiser immigration Super Bowl ad, which had gotten a lot of hoopla around it because that was kind of a hot ticket in politics at the time, was the border and legal immigration versus, widespread just walking over the border. So that got a lot of airplay prior to the Super Bowl. And then when the Super Bowl came around, it was pretty good. I played Eberhard Anheuser, and I had a friend of mine here locally who was from Germany. And when I got the audition, I pretty much dropped everything, took off out the door, and I had her read the lines to me in a voice message, and then I just listened to them all the way to the audition, which was over in New Orleans. But yeah, it was a bit of a trigger, but my mom didn't recognize me. So if your mother doesn't recognize you on a Super Bowl,
it doesn't count.
It doesn't really count. So I'm hoping to get another one of those.
What would you say was the first movie appearance or, you know, show appearance? Because you've done some stuff that's appeared on Showtime and I think Netflix. What was the one role that you think is the catalyst role for you?
Probably playing DEA agent Clay Grunwald in Netflix's Bloodline. I was in 9 episodes of that. So that was probably the thing that really pushed it into the mainstream a little bit more.
Bill Kelly with me. Bill, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Come right back. 70-second look at weather and traffic. Bill Kelly, actor, Where the Crawdads Sing. Yes, we're going to get around to it. No spoiler alerts. We're not going to go there. But I am going to ask him some questions. He plays Sheriff Ed Jackson. Beefy role. Reese Witherspoon produced film. Next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott with Bill Kelly.
Sensei of sensibility, communicator of common sense amplified. It's The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Five minutes after the hour, actor Bill Kelly with us. Do you like that introduction, Bill? I mean, does it make you feel weird?
You know, it really does. It's one of those things I'm not really used to because I'm...
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know, I'm in Tallahassee all the time. I run out and do some projects here and there, but my real life is a lot less glamorous than deserving the title actor Bill Kelly. It's just my life is not that glamorous. I don't drive a Mercedes Benz. I actually bought one of the old station vehicles and I drive it most of the time. But yeah, it's kind of weird. You know, it's kind of surreal when people recognize you and go, "Can I get your autograph or something?" It doesn't happen very often, but I just want to look at you and go, "You know, this is like I should be paying you."
when you got the opportunity to audition for this movie, kind of set it up for us. What did you know about the screenplay, about the novel it was based on? Kind of walk us through that.
Well, my wife and I like to pick books and read together and to spend time together in silence in our own thoughts, but being there together. So I was reading the book. I was about halfway through Where the Crawdads Sing when I got the audition.
Wait, whoa. You mean you just happened to be reading it, or were you tipped that there might be a movie coming and there were parts available?
There may have been a little bit of that, but no. Yes. You know, it's amazing how many books I've started and stopped. But no, actually, I was reading the book. I was reading the book before I found out about the movie, and then I heard about the movie, and I ended up getting an audition, and then I was down to pretty much the last chapter when I got the part. So I had a pretty good feeling of who Sheriff Jackson was and what I was going to do with the character on the screen.
You were doing radio as in, you know, what I do only on the music side for years on TNT, right?
Yeah, correct. I started there in 1986 and I got off the air in 2000, but I, you know, was doing commercials here and there and live broadcast here and there. And it's like, you know, it's, I still get people, you know, like somebody in Publix that go, "Oh, I listen to you all the time." And it's, I just go, "Hey, thanks. Appreciate that." But you know, radio does have a way of sticking in your mind. So, yeah, people think sometimes that I'm still on the air because I've got commercials floating around and stuff like that.
Bill, did you ever take any formal acting classes? You mentioned the FSU experience working with the film school and some of the independent filmmakers that come out of there. Did you do any formal training, or was it training by way of doing?
It was training by way of doing. I've never taken an acting class. You know, I've never gone to a structured facility or a structured program and said, how do I do this? So it was really kind of learning through the film school and doing stuff with Freddie that I was able to hone it a little bit and figure out the nuances and what I should and shouldn't be doing on camera.
So when you get the call that you're going to get a chance to audition for a part in this movie as Sheriff Ed Jackson, what's the very first thing that you do? Finish reading the book?
Yeah, I finished the book, and then I, waited for the script to come out. I mean, the script's usually there by the time I finish the book. But they don't send me the whole script. They send you what is called sides, and it's just a sample of your lines that could be a page, could be two, maybe three pages long, where it's broken up into your dialogue with somebody else. And then my wife does my reading for me on audition, so she's in the background reading the character, the other characters, while I'm in front of the camera doing the acting. And she doesn't let me get away with nothing. That woman is... My agent once called her and said, I just want to say thank you for all the help you're giving him, because she's amazing.
Keeps you to every single line. In other words, she gives you no wiggle room to interpret.
Yeah, it's you know, I'll go, I like that. And she's like, nah, I think you can do it again. Let's do it again. And, you know, it gets a little frustrating sometimes, but she's usually right when it comes to dialing it in just a little bit further.
Bill, stand by. Bill Kelly with us, actor from the movie Where the Crawdads Sing. It's playing in theaters nationwide, wherever you're listening to us, on iHeartRadio. Sheriff Ed Jackson, Bill Kelly, my guest.
UFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Hey, so here we go.
An iHeart radio station.
Talking actor Bill Kelly, Where the Crawdads Sing. It is in theaters nationwide and directed by Olivia Newman. It is a Reese Witherspoon film. And Bill Kelly plays Sheriff Ed Jackson in the film. Bill, set the stage. What's this movie all about?
This movie is about a young girl named Kaya, who is abandoned as a child in the marshlands of North Carolina, and she's left to basically raise herself. So these are the cards she's dealt, and she's got to deal with it, and she's, you know, somewhere around 10 years old. So she learns to live with the marsh. She's figured out through living there her first young years just what her father's done to make, to put food on the table, and she gets some help from some of the people in the marsh, but the people in town don't really know much about her other than she's just the marsh girl. So it takes her through adulthood, where she's decided that she needs human interaction. So she meets a couple of guys from town, becomes romantically involved, and hilarity ensues, as they say, after that. Now, it's not really hilarity, but it's the intrigue and the mystery itself unfolds as the story goes along. And I play Sheriff Ed Jackson, who's been the law enforcement, the long arm of the law in Barkley Cove for many years. I'm intuitive. I've got a good sense of police work and a lot of experience. And I know what the marsh can hold. I know the secrets it can cover. And so after one of these people ends up dead, she, you know, the sheriff thinks he's got a pretty good idea who's done this crime.
Compare the premiere in New York and the reaction you got there to the premiere that you hosted here in town and the reaction you got here.
Well, the premiere in New York, I mean, wow, that was the biggest premiere I'd gone to. I'd done the Banker premiere in Memphis, but this one was at the Museum of Modern Arts, and you've got Daisy Edgar Jones and Taylor John Smith and Harris Dickinson. Reese Witherspoon is there, so you've got all the producers, cinematographer, everybody involved in the upper end of the film with regards to Sony and 3000 Pictures and Hello Sunshine. And then you've got everybody on the carpet who is ET, E! Entertainment Television, AP, Access Hollywood. So the cameras and the people that were there were quite intimidating, but it was fun to do. And then the one we had back here, and the reaction up there was, there were a lot of gasps and there were a lot of hoorahs, you know, when there was dominance in the film. And you got to keep in mind, this is a film that basically talks of female empowerment and her desire to survive in the marsh. Mm-hmm. And she's not going to let anybody stop her. And then the one we did down here was fantastic. I mean, I had a lot of friends and family that were there. We did it at CMX. They were great. And then we had Meryl Warren from the film school, which I cherish that lady. She's so sweet. And then Fred was there, and just a bunch of people that are good friends of ours in the community that came to it. So they were all thrilled. It's always good to see the reaction of people, especially with this film, because it does have some unexpected twists in it that you got to go see the film to find out more.
Last question, Bill, and I appreciate the time this morning. Is this the sort of the platform now that sets the bar for you? Movie roles need to kind of elevate themselves to a certain place before you consider them. Are you just taking on whatever role just fits, wherever it is, whatever might come your way?
Well, I think it's you know, it's one of those things where I don't think I'll be doing one line movies in the future, but I'd love, you know, I just shot a pilot for NBC that if we're crossing fingers it gets picked up, which that'll be a great role. And then,
is that a recurring role, TV type thing or movie?
Yeah, it's a recurring role. It's not a series regular, but it could be a recurring role possibility there. And then I'm doing the Wonder Years on ABC, which is, I'm hoping that'll grow. It's coming back for season two, and I've done 3 episodes of that. And then I've got a callback audition today for a commercial that I'll let you in on a little bit after we get off the air. But that's one of those things that I'm like, yeah, let's make this one happen, because it's a total stretch, you know, the other direction for me.
Nice. Bill, I'm so happy for you. You know that. And I appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, bud.
All right. Bill Kelly with us on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
For the days when times were good and life was simple, he still lives there. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
On the program, we will be celebrating and informing many of you about who Dan Markell was. Today, 8 years ago, not far from where our station is, Dan Markell was shot Many of us believe it was orchestrated by the family of his ex-wife. So far, there has been one guilty plea and two guilty convictions. A third trial awaits. The trial of Charlie Adelson, the brother of Dan Markell's ex-wife, Wendy Adelson. Will there be an arrest of Donna Adelson, of Wendy herself? Don't know. There are many of us that believe that justice is slowly being served, but it is being served.
Gosh, 8 years? Yeah. Really? I mean, to try and put that into context, I'm 25. When the incident happened, I hadn't yet started my senior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think back of like what the last 8 years of my life have been, and then I think of what the Markell family has gone through. 8 years, of like that length of time of pain and not knowing, you know, what...
Or maybe knowing, just not able to see it finally brought to light.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good way to put it. Just waiting and hoping that there would be some sort of justice brought... Like, good grief, I can't fathom.
Some sense of resolution.
Right.
There's been some. It's been incremental. There were arrests 2-3 years later. And the wheels of justice move slowly, deliberately, because you're innocent until proven guilty. Or you plead to it. I say all that because... It was today that Dan was shot. It was tomorrow, 8 years ago, that Dan passed away. And I'll talk about this more tomorrow morning. I don't know how else to put it. I just felt it was laid on my heart that we needed to do something on this show on the day of his passing, to remember his life. So tomorrow is not going to be a discussion of his murder. It's going to be a discussion in the final hour of his life. And to that end, I have his mom, Ruth Markell, joining me on the program. And I have 3 or 4 of his good friends, each one with a unique perspective. And when we're done with the hour, here's my goal. My goal is that you're going to know Dan Markell a little bit. And that maybe one day his sons will have a chance to hear this conversation that we'll post online. And they'll get to know their dad a little bit better. That's tomorrow on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
This is the way.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
One minutes after the hour, The Morning Show with Preston Scott, Grant Allen there. Studio 1A. I'm here in Studio 1B. Great to be with you. Got a podcast we're doing after the show today with one of the candidates for the Leon County School Board.
You know what we should do? Completely unrelated to the podcast, but just crossed my mind.
Yep.
We need to get The Morning Show with Preston Scott shirts and have our numbers on the back with the studio on it.
You want to walk around be 1A? I can walk around being 1B.
How funny would that be? I don't know. It just crossed my mind, made me laugh. Maybe I'm the only one. That was all I got. That was my only suggestion.
Gotcha.
Again, nothing really of value, just
kinda
an
like
idea.
Thing one and thing two.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I thought it'd
Maybe
be funny.
Maybe we get some crazy little wigs.
There you go.
With headphones.
Yeah.
They just wig headphones that we put on.
That could work.
And people could buy shirts. They could be, you know, fans of yours can buy shirt 1A.
Exactly.
both of the fans of mine could buy shirt 1B.
There you go.
So what? We produce, what, about
five shirts? Five shirts.
Yeah. In 1991, NCAA created the NCAA Women of the Year Award. Not women, woman. The award recognizes female student athletes who have exhausted their eligibility and distinguished themselves in their community, in athletics, in academia, throughout their college careers. That's what the nomination page reads. Member schools are encouraged to celebrate their top graduating female student athletes by nominating them for the NCAA Woman of the Year Award. Sweet. And, of course, Leah Dude Thomas is nominated by the University of Pennsylvania. A man has been nominated as the Woman of the Year to be celebrated by the NCAA. A man has been nominated by the University of Pennsylvania. Kentucky swimmer Riley Gaines, she's not so fond of the idea. There's a photo of her and Thomas. She said, being the real girl in that photo,
oof,
and also University of Kentucky's nominee for Woman of the Year, this is yet another slap in the face to women. First, a female national title, now nominated for the Pinnacle Award in Collegiate Athletics. The NCAA has made this award worthless. This award combines athletic performance with academic service and character. What character has Thomas shown other than sheer selfishness and entitlement? The disrespect and disregard for other female athletes in Thomas's interviews is eye-opening. I have an idea, and I don't know that this will ever, it's likely not to go anywhere unless I find my way with my idea on the Clay and Buck show and on Fox News and so forth. Opening day of college football. Everybody walks out of the stadium for the opening kickoff until the kickoff has happened and then comes back in. Signs, etc., addressing this topic. Protect women's sports. No guys competing as women. Stuff like that. Different signs. I know that we'll never keep people from going to an NCAA football game. I know that. It's not going to happen. But what you might be able to do is you might be able to get a bunch of people out of the stadium. And if you get a bunch of stadiums with the crowds emptying out at kickoff, that would be hard to ignore. This has gone so fast beyond too far. It's not funny. All right, we've set up tomorrow's third hour. Let you know what's going to go on there. Also have a Manly Minute and, you know, the news of the day. But the third hour is going to be largely devoted to the life of Dan Markell, former FSU law professor. Life cut short. And his two little boys robbed of really knowing their dad because of the actions of their mom and her family. They basically erased him from their life, and we're going to do what we can to make sure that people know Dan, and maybe by extension his kids. That's tomorrow on the show. A bit of a continuation of the theme of the last segment. All right, Leah Thomas, right? He's been nominated for Woman of the Year. What do you do with that? Here's where this all leads. You ready?
a transgendered woman, otherwise known as a man. Have you figured that out, by the way? A transgendered man is a woman. A transgendered woman is a man. All right. So a man incarcerated in prison, but he's imprisoned with women. In the women's only prison. In New Jersey. Has been moved to another facility. After impregnating two inmates. And we're shocked by this. The amazing thing about this, let's just wait and see, is the activists are going to say, see, a woman can impregnate another woman. Am I wrong?
No, they will, of course, say that.
They will make that assertion.
Of course they will. Or they would say something along the lines of, that's why we needed access so that this woman could get bottom surgery.
No, he had no interest in it.
Oh, I know.
That's the thing. Most of these dudes have no interest in that.
How do you know? But isn't that who he really was, though? That he was just a woman with male parts.
But he shouldn't have the urges to then be carnal.
I can't help you.
It's incredible. But that's where this all leads. It's just a giant train wreck. And we're here to watch.
Brought to you by Barino Heating and Air. It's the Morning Show 180 on WFLA.
Look back at the program in 180 seconds or less. We'll be posting our conversation with actor Bill Kelly, the movie Where the Crawdads Sing. I never asked, where did the crawdads sing?
The marsh.
But do they? I still maintain crawdads only make a noise if they're in boiling water. But I could, I don't know. Big story in the press box. Judge rules Biden administration's LGBTQ directives infringe on states' rights. Put a cease and desist on them, at least in 20 states so far. We'll see where that leads. Barely one quarter of Americans, 28% of Americans trust public schools, according to the Gallup survey. 28%. 28%. Talked about the weather forecast. Have you noticed the changes over the years? We used to have smiling Mr. Sunshine. Whenever the forecast called for sunny skies, now it's dark orange red. Deep dark red, otherwise known as death. Sorry for sounding a little bit like Batman there. Tomorrow we'll tee it up, do it all over again, see if my voice can recover. I don't know why my voice is a little froggy. It just is. But we'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks for listening. You have yourself a terrific day.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.